Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's do that one more time for the Lord this time. I come to this place in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus is here, anything is possible. Anything is possible in the presence of Jesus. I am fully persuaded if we could ever get that into our understanding, our services locally and abroad would be actually a Book of Acts experience. From the book of Mark, chapter 10 and verse 45. I have a tremendous burden for this camp meeting. You really can't do anything without a burden. It's not the preaching that takes it out of you. It's the burden that you carry. In this place tonight, there is a latent power in each of us that could tear things literally to pieces. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, in verse 45, the Bible says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." As far as I am concerned, this is the golden text of the entire chapter, or the entire book of Mark, possibly the whole New Testament. Scriptures say that even Jesus himself came not to be ministered unto, but he came to minister to others and to give his life a ransom for many, including me. There is a verse of scripture in the book of Proverbs. Interesting it is. Proverbs 28 and verse 27 says, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack." It's a promise from God. Solomon knew about that. He understood it. Tonight is an opening night for a camp meeting. There will be miracles of healing. There will be signs and wonders in this camp meeting. There's no doubt about that. Because Jesus is here. And there's tremendous hunger here. And this is a noble assembly. Sons and daughters of the King. And visitors into his courts. Angels walking back and forth in and out of this place. The campground guarded by day and by night with ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. So anything is possible here tonight, tomorrow night, for the week. But there are keys to all of this. And I want to simply entitle this tonight, "Come, let us become burdened together." Come, let us become burdened together. We will set a stage here tonight that will flow into the rest of the camp meeting in Jesus' name. Would you lift your hands and would you pray with me together? Hallelujah, Jesus. Tonight in this place, speak to us individually and conglomerately. Don't allow any of us to be the same. Do something to each of us that will cause us to be catapulted into a greater and apostolic dimension of Christian living. I pray tonight for the anointing of God to be upon these lips of clay, that you will cause me to speak as an oracle of the Lord to these people. Jesus, we have come to this place together in this hour, facing perilous times. Hear us and endue us with a power unlike anything we've ever known before. We will not fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We ask these things in Jesus' resplendent name. For thou art great, and thou art greatly to be praised. There is none like unto thee, neither in heaven nor in earth. Thou art mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And we understand tonight there has been an onslaught against many areas of this coming together. We know tonight the devil fights the hardest where he fears the most. Let there be an explosion beginning tonight that will end, O God, in signs and wonders and miracles. We ask it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord one great round of applause together. Hallelujah, Jesus. That isn't good enough. It isn't good enough. That is better. Because we ought to do everything that we do with all of our might as unto the Lord. If we will build in this place tonight a habitation of praise, then this God that I represent to you will come and live in this house of praise in a great and magnificent way. For He is the author and finisher of all that is beginning here tonight. I feel the presence of the ministry of the Holy One of Israel, whom we know to be that blessed, blessed, blessed Savior, even Jesus Christ of Nazareth. A man from Galilee. I have attended one of the leading Bible colleges in this country, in this movement. I don't mind telling you that in those classrooms, I learned a great deal about the Word of the Lord. ABI has a reputation for turning out preachers or developing preachers. That is their theme, to develop a preacher. I can tell you tonight, I'm not sure what a preacher looks like or is supposed to look like, but I know what he is supposed to sound like. And though they did teach me something about all of this, there is one thing they did not teach me. They did not teach me how to minister. The great lack in our movement, in our churches locally and across this nation, is that our people are involved with the greatest knowledge that man has ever been privileged to touch or to taste. But we have kept it basically to ourselves. And we have worshipped when we felt like it. We have come and gone through His courts in and out when it pleased us. Not because it was a sublime duty unto Him who has given us an unspeakable, unprecedented experience. We have not given out of ourselves to others. I have pastored 3 times and can tell you authoritatively that from my position as a pastor, I do not need preachers coming through my church when I pastored, preaching sermons or sermonettes and tying up their throats and waiting to be taken out to eat. That is not what I need when I pastor. I need a man of God who will come if he preaches 5 minutes or 5 hours. But when he is finished, that he will leave this platform and climb in over the pews and go after those who have need of the touch of the man of God, who have need of the only hands that the Master has in this present hour. The only hands he has is ours. The only voice he has is ours. The only feet he has is ours. Clap again, because I feel something building and something that is beginning to give. I have been in this 24 years. I have watched conferences, camp meetings, sectional conferences, revivals, all kinds of services I have been in, national conferences. I have watched through the years when people have come, sinners and also saints, who have needed deliverance, salvation, help, healing. They have come for help because we have preached it, that it is possible. They come to our altars crying, weeping, broken, expectant. And I have watched with my eyes saints at the back who never bothered to pray and never bothered to come to lay a hand on a victim of sin. I have watched preachers with expensive clothes and fine shoes, and I'm not against it, but I have watched them stand with their arms crossed, folded, watching people struggle in the throes of life and death and never extend a hand to help or to deliver or to touch or to make one free. The great sin of our movement is we have forgotten what it is like to be lost. We have forgotten to how it feels to feel the pain, the sting, and the stain of sin. We are a people now who are saved, redeemed, washed, blood-bought, on our way to heaven. And we have a right to do what we did here tonight. We have come and danced and worshiped before the Lord. We lifted our hands and danced and we have sung. And I feel the joy of the Lord in this place. But I feel something more here tonight. I feel an authoritative hand that has come down to the heavens tonight to slice into our lives and to cut us free from the strings that bind us. We need to kiss our traditions goodbye and get into some kind of an apostolic move that will shake this present world from center to circumference. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I have never understood it. I still don't understand it. We preach it. We tell it. But when they come, we don't deliver the goods. If the sign out front of your church says Apostolic Church and there are not signs, wonders, and miracles going on inside, it's false advertising. Take it down and put something else up. Either we have it or we do not have it. Either this thing is real or is not real. Either this thing works or does not work. He from ancient days is among us in this hour to declare himself as the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the same forever. This Jesus that we hail tonight as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he has not changed. He has not changed. May I say to you more than ever before, the lame still walk and the blind still see and the deaf still hear and all of that. And I tell you tonight, he is the healer of cancer and all these weird diseases that are coming on the scene. Jesus is the answer to demonology and to heathenism and to all the drug scene and to the gay movement. He is the answer for everything. He is the answer for everything. You ought to clap on that. You ought to all stand to your feet on that and give him a standing ovation. For he from ancient days is in this place to do a miracle, a mighty miracle for you. Let's put a tail on that. This time shout when you clap. Shout with your voice. Like the sound of mighty rivers and waters pouring. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in an atmosphere like this one right now, there is unity. There is one-mindedness. There is a one accord. Anything can happen now. Jesus. You may be seated if you would like. In New York State where I live, the Medical Society has discovered, I want you to think about this. This is astounding to me. This has shaken me. The Medical Society has discovered that if a nurse in nurses training, they're teaching this stuff in nurses training, that if a nurse who is well walks into a room where a patient is ill, and if the nurse that is well lays a hand on a patient who is ill, that something is transmitted from the nurse that is well to the patient who is ill that causes the patient to become better. Sinners, not Holy Ghost saints like us, they are teaching this. They're teaching nurses to lay hands on, to touch patients that are sick, because something is transmitted that causes that patient to become better. It's one thing to say, I love you, praise the Lord. Another thing to say, I love you, brother, praise the Lord. There's something that happens. There's something that happens when you reach out and touch another person. Take the hand of the person next to you. Something happens. You become connected with something called life. There's an energy that flows out from you. Something happens when you touch another person. And when you do it in Jesus' name, there's no telling what'll happen. There's no telling what'll happen. Because he is an author of something in the Bible that said they had a doctrine of laying on of hands in the New Testament. And we, I'm sorry to say, have lost that and forsaken it. If those doctors and nurses understand this, what should you and I understand as apostolic believers in this hour? The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not men of the cloth, not people with their collars backwards, but believers in general, in mass, conglomerate style. Anybody who is a believer, a Book of Acts believer, repented, baptized in his name, filled with his spirit. A believer, she can be a washerwoman, but in that washerwoman's heart is a power, in the hands is a knowledge, a strength, then can go to a neighbor and say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, be thou healed. Anybody, everybody that is a believer. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is Scripture. Scripture. They shall, without doubt. They shall. They shall, without doubt. They shall recover. It's a promise. I claim it. I claim it. I claim it. Say that. I claim it. Say it again. I claim it. Now that you have claimed it, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What we really need to happen is for all of us to become a bunch of real fanatics. Who cares anyhow? Who cares anyhow? In my file at home, I have a photo of the emanations that come from human hands when they are photographed. It looks like heat waves rising from the pavement down the road ahead of you in the summer. You've seen those heat waves just shimmer in the light as they rise from the paving or the asphalt. Human hands constantly emanate that type of thing when it is photographed. Do you understand me tonight when I say that we have been filled, infused with the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? And if that power could ever get out of us, it would shake everything around us. You would do it. You would do it. It wouldn't hurt you to lay hands on somebody at the end of a service and pray in Jesus' name. You might be amazed what would happen. You might be shocked at what would happen if you would simply try it. Say, well, who am I? That's the whole problem. We don't know who we are. I'll tell you who I am. I'm a lot more than just a preacher. I am a child of God. I belong to His royal family. I have been adopted into this royal family. I have His name, access to the use of it, His blood, His power, and His promises that He will do through me what He did Himself, and that greater things than these will He do. Tonight, we can stand and claim our rightful place in all of this. We are never going to get the job done. Please hearken to this simple understanding that 12 ignorant, unlearned fishermen, for the most part, turned their world upside down. They shook the Roman Empire from center to circumference, and they were ex-fishermen and ex-tax collectors, but they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. The religious system of their day perceived, though they called them ignorant, they said, these people have been with Jesus. We can tell the ones that have been because they're going around doing what He did. Did you hear about this from being raised from the dead, that Peter's shadow is causing a wake of screaming and shouting and dancing and leaping? We don't have one Jesus in this world. We got a whole bunch of them running around. If we would ever wake up and realize what it is that is inside of us, we must come to this understanding. We must come to this revelation. We must take a hold of this in this hour. We are never going to get the job done. We're never going to reach this generation the way we're going at it. Yes, I love what I feel here tonight, but I am not satisfied. I am not satisfied in this present hour. We cannot be satisfied. I do a lot of things just because I feel to do it. I don't always know why I do what I do. I have learned not to ask questions, just be obedient. If Jesus tells me to go get somebody, I go get him. One man in one service where I was one night, he had beaten his wife. He was just full of the devil. He came to the service. I don't know how anyone got him there, but he came to the service. When I gave an altar call, he thought he was safe. He refused the altar call and stayed back there. But when I got about halfway through the altar service, helping this one and that one, the Holy Ghost said to me, go get him. I said, Jesus, you know what you're doing? Do you really understand what you're saying? He said, go get him. He had his back to me. I walked up to him, tapped him on the shoulder. He turned over to my face. His face turned pale. I said, God told me to come and get you. Come with me, sir. I took a hold of his hand and led him like a child down that aisle. I have never seen anybody do this in all of my life. You know what he said? He began to whimper and wail like some little kid. This wife beater is now in the hand of a preacher. He's wailing like some little child. He said, oh God, please get me through this. Please get me through this. I patted him on the back and said, God will get you through it. Don't worry, God's going to get you through it. Just come with me. He came down front. I said, raise your hands in the presence of the Lord. Let me tell you, I don't care how tough you are, where you've been or where you haven't been, there is somebody that lives inside of me that is greater than anything you've ever come in contact with. this that is inside of me. This power, greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. Greater is this Holy Ghost that causes you to wave your hands and shout and leap and weep and cry. Greater is this Holy Ghost inside of you, young people, than anything you're ever going to get involved with in this world. Greater! Say greater! Say it again! Again! He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues. He stopped beating his wife and behaved himself. You're supposed to when you get the Holy Ghost. I don't always know why I feel to do what I do. There was a karate, black belt karate man came one night to a revival meeting where I was. Sat right on the second row back, crossed his arms just like this. Psychologists say when a person sits with their arms crossed, they're saying, show me. We'll show you. Jesus and I will show you. I looked at him and I thought, we'll show you, buddy, what power's all about. You can have 5 or 10 black belts, but I know some of them will flatten you in a second. God can just knock you out like that. He knows how to do it. He had a mustache and a goatee and the whole business. He was a rough-looking dude, had a bad reputation in the city. I preached like a house of fire, did my thing, did not eye contact with him too much. I saved all my power for the last. At the end of the thing, I gave an altar call. He did not come. When I stopped giving an altar call, he thought he had gotten through the worst of it. I pulled a real fast one on him. God will help you do a lot of things if you're open to it. He'll let you walk into a lot of things that are the most exciting thing in all of the world. I said, everybody close your eyes and bow your head. And he did it. He was obedient. I walked right down. God said, go get him now. I walked right down and climbed over the front pew. I put my hands on his chest and he opened his eyes, looked into my face. I said, God told me to come and get you. Those big shoulders of his began to tremble. I led him down to the altar. He raised his hands and God knocked him flat. And he rolled over speaking with tongues in the carpet. That is the kind of God that I represent to you tonight. That is the kind of God I represent to you tonight. Anything, anything, anything can happen in a place like this where there is that kind of power. Hallelujah, Jesus. There are pastors I know that don't want their saints laying hands on everybody. That's why they get so many counseling sessions, so much trouble. If people would turn themselves outward and give themselves to others, if you will take care of God's work, He will take care of your situation. He will take care of your problems. You will never outgive Him in any way. I was not raised in this. I heard Sister Vesta Mangan preach when I was a brand new convert, about 2 or 3 weeks old. I remember watching her in St. Paul, Minnesota. She preached, dressed elegantly. There she was. At the end of the service, they came around that old platform at Midway Tabernacle. Sister Mangan, I watched her. She knelt down in her lovely clothes and her lovely attire. There in her, shall we say, queenly self-presentation, she lowered herself, and I was watching. She lowered herself to a sinner woman who was praying at the altar, and I watched you pray that woman through. And someone whispered to me, they said, isn't it something that a woman of her caliber would lower herself to get involved in the altar work? I cannot tell you what it did to me. I thought this is what this was all about. I thought that this was what this was all about. That's what you told me. You said that once we got it, we could give it out, that we could share it, that we could do what he did. I have never forgotten you, Sister Mangan. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Just have at it. Hallelujah! In the name of Jesus. I am making a direct quote from Sister Mangan. I heard her make a statement in one masterful delivery she gave. She said, "We have all been anointed for the task." You said it. What is a task? The task is to minister. The task is to go forth with what you have got and give it to others. Brother Tenney, what a noble character. What a wonderful figure among us. What a mighty leader. Both intelligent in matters of government and also anointed to preach. An understanding of apostolic procedures and spiritual. That's some kind of a combination, isn't it? He gave me authority in his pulpit this week. I listened to him open the whole thing to me. So now I open it to you. I give you a license to do anything you want to do this week. I'll cover for you. He gave it to me. I give it to you. We're going to have church here this week. And we're all going to get involved. We're all going to get involved. We're not going to be a bunch of bench warmers, but we're going to do something for the cause of Jesus. We're going to give to each other. Yes, 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 we are. And I don't have to preach every night either. It's amazing how we are in Pentecost. We have traditions that are stronger than the devil. You can rebuke devils, but you cannot rebuke elders. You would like to, but you don't. Just move on someplace else where they let you do what you want. Our traditions are very strong. Bless God, if we don't preach, we think we haven't had church. I want to tell you something. A lot of preachers, I'm an evangelist now, and I travel all the time. You know, there are some preachers among us that want to give you an offering if you don't preach. You can pray 50 through the Holy Ghost, but if you don't preach, they don't really want to give you an offering for that night. I don't go back anymore. He said not to. You can pray 50 through the Holy Ghost, but unless you have preached. It happened to me not too long ago, not the offering business, but after a tremendous move of God, and people getting the Holy Ghost and healings, the preacher said, "Are you going to preach?" I said, "No." I could tell he didn't like it. I said, "Listen, friend, I learned a long time ago, I cannot compete with Jesus. I can't do it. I can't do it. You will never upstage the Holy Ghost. Never. You'll never add one thing to what he does. If he wants to preach through you, let him. But if he wants you to sit down or go out and lay hands on it, he wants to do what he wants to do. You had best back off, friend, and let him do what he wants to do. Because if you don't, you're going to miss the will of God. We have blown him out of our services so many times with a bunch of nothingness when he wanted to sweep through and absolutely perform the miraculous for us in a touch of worship and praise. He came down drawn to you, wanting to come to you, wanting to touch you, wanting to get in the aisle, wanting to get a hold of you, wanting to come in where you are. But somebody up here stopped it. We're not going to stop it this week. We're going to do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. That's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We better clap again on that one because that's a rough statement. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let the gifts of faith operate in this place. I am considered
by a lot of people to be quote unquote successful. It's a nice feeling to have that spoken of you by brethren, those who are in high places. And I felt basically content that I was successful until a few months ago. Our brother Ferguson in Columbus, Ohio, had invited me a year ago at their camp meeting to come preach for him sometime. He had assisted Brother Stewart faithfully for, I think it was, 20 years as an assistant. God took Brother Stewart on to his reward. Brother Ferguson was left with the church. Under old Brother Chambers, the church had been up in the 900s. But it had, for one reason or another, deteriorated to about 209 people. When Brother Ferguson took it, it was about 209. I had heard that he was having a revival. I had liked his spirit when I met him. I told him that I would come when I could. Finally, I went for a Sunday and a Tuesday night service. He said, Brother Strong King, if you'll just come for Sunday morning and Sunday night, you can rest on Monday, preach for us Tuesday, take you out to eat, whatever. He said, we'll take good care of you. I said, I'm not worried about that. I said, I just want to make sure it's the right thing. And I felt it was the right thing, and I went. And I felt successful until I went to his church. I've never seen anything like it. Anywhere. They break all the laws of UPC traditions. All of them. They start with an altar service. I don't usually get wringing wet with sweat until about, the end of about 12 o'clock noon and about 9:30 at night. I was wringing wet within 30 minutes after we got into the situation. They started singing. He has raised that congregation's attendance from 209 to 900 in 2 years. I have never seen such worship. I never saw anything like it. He left the platform. He's a lot like you, Brother Mangan. He left the platform, just broke all protocol. Here he was weaving in and out of the people, trying to have a song service, shaking the hands of the visitors and the saints and praying for people. In the middle of a song service, he's out here doing all of this. Talk about disrupting a service. He was disrupting it. But nobody seemed to mind. He was oblivious to all of us. All of a sudden, the power of God fell, and the people from the platform, the choir members began to leave, and they were all in the audience. Sinners began to come to the altar. I thought, well, this is it. I went down in among them, and we prayed four people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost before we ever came to the preaching. He said, you can preach now. We're all ready for it. I said, after all this? He said, yes. I said, all right, I will. I preached for him. Two or three more got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They have church from the beginning until the very end. They don't stop for anything. And his people will stay for it. I watched him. He just totally ignored me. What are you going to do? You better get in with the flow. You better get in with it. I crawled out in among them and began to do all kinds of things in the spirit. People were healed. The amazing thing about his church is that, he's got some prominent people in that church and they're dressed very well. But all of a sudden the back doors open and he's got all these buses that people have given him, companies have given him. I could tell you stories you wouldn't believe. I hardly believe him, but I saw the buses. He got them for free. Here, all of a sudden the back doors open. They work with these transients. Here came people in. You talk about undesirables. Here came all of these people, and they were just everywhere. We got them settled. Then another bunch came in. They were all in wheelchairs on crutches. And I watched all this, and I said, what's all of this? He said, this is our ministry here. He said, see this bunch over here? He said, my 14-year-old boy and my daughter, they have charge of that bus. I have never seen two kids more on fire for God. You couldn't get them to stay in bed on Sunday morning. They wouldn't leave that bus for anything. Here his son and daughter were helping these old people, these crippled people, with these crutches and these wheelchairs in on the surface of the carpet of that church, and they began to worship and pray. All of a sudden, he gets in the pulpit, Brother Ferguson, and he said, "Listen, God said these signs shall follow them to believe." He said, "All you saints, get out in the aisles now, begin to lay hands on these wheelchair victims and these crutches." So he said, "One of these days it's going to happen." He said, "One of these days it's going to happen. We might as well get prepared. We might as well get in practice." And here were all these people running around doing this thing. And they were crying and they were praying and they were speaking with tongues. People, let me tell you, it was like a camp meeting in the middle of a regular church service. One year ago, I talked to him this morning. I said, "I'm fixing to talk about you tonight. Do you mind?" He said, "No, if it'll help anybody. I got a few details for you." 1 year ago, he had 289 in church, and last Sunday they bust 289. And they had 900. He has torn his area up. All those little struggling churches that have not done anything for years, he has provoked them to jealousy. They're all beating the streets. They're all getting out, and they're all having a revival because they are learning something that has got to be relearned by us. We have got to go where they are. They're not going to come to us. We've got to go to the water and throw in the bait and throw in the net and pull in the fish. I'm telling you tonight, in our hands, saints, in our hands, camp meeting, is the power, is the dynamo, is the prestige, is the glory, is the power of a resurrected one who is from ancient days, who is all powerful. One old black man, very cleanly dressed, walked down to the altar on Sunday morning. I taught a simple lesson. He walked down to the altar on a crutch. I walked up to him and put my arm around his shoulder. It wouldn't hurt us to get involved with these people. I put my arm around his shoulder. I said, "Pop, there is something here that you need." And he began to tremble. In a little while, he spoke a few words in tongues. Not enough to satisfy most of us, though. The bus was leaving and they wanted him to get on the bus. He went out to the bus, Sister Mangan. He began to cry, this old man at the bus. He said to the driver, "But I don't want to leave this place. I want to go back in there and I want to pray." They said, "Then you're going to get to go back in there." And they brought him back down the aisle. This time, Brother Ferguson and I set him on the front pew. We both put our arms around him. And in a couple of minutes, he was speaking with tongues a mile a minute. I mean, the Holy Ghost was pouring out of him. They took him to the baptistry and they baptized that old man in Jesus' name. I never saw anything quite like it. He said, "Brother Stone King, God spoke to me and said, 'He that giveth to the poor shall not lack.'" He said, "We were having financial difficulties." He said, "Now we are spending $3,600 a month on outreach alone." He said, "The money is coming in." He's got a woman in his church that used to live in the dumpster behind the church. She is a saint of God, but she lived in the dumpster behind the church. In an all-night prayer meeting, they had a woman come in, just a street urchin, shall we say. She was cold, hadn't had a decent meal in weeks, lived on the street, hovered over what do they call these things in the streets, these little grates. They were out there. And that's all the home she had. But she came by the church and the door was open. She came into the warmth of the prayer room and laid down on that carpet and fell asleep. And Brother Ferguson took a blanket and covered her and they left her there all night long. In the morning, he got his staff together and took that woman to a restaurant for a decent meal, the first in weeks and weeks and weeks. She was dirty. She stunk, if you don't mind my saying in that way. But I want to tell you something, friend. There was a man who came into this world nearly 2,000 years ago who did that type of thing. He reached out to the lowest. He lowered himself to the very lowest. He came to minister. He looked beyond the scum and the filth and the leprosy and the retardation. He looked beyond the blindness. He looked beyond it. She was there on the Sunday morning I was there. She came walking down the aisle. Her clothes were not nice. I tell you, they weren't. I didn't know for sure if I wanted to touch her, but she came down the aisle. I said, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. I've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. I laid hands on that woman. She began to speak with tongues. She got the baptism of the Holy Ghost on Sunday night. They bring a whole bus of transients on Sunday night. I watched four transients. The people with no homes. They live in one halfway house 30 days. They move them across town to another halfway house. No home, no family, no place to go. They go back and forth from these houses across the city. He has prayed dozens of those people through and rehabilitated some of them. And they've got jobs in the city. And they are now respectable citizens. But I watched four of these transients at the altar with their arms around each other's shoulders. Laughing and crying. They had nothing till they came here. Nothing till they came to this place. But now they had each other, and they had us, and they had a hope, and they had Jesus, and they had the church, and they got brothers, and they got sisters, and they got a shepherd. I watched them pray with a black man kneeling on the steps. They began to pray. I stood there and wept and cried. I didn't know there was anybody left among us that did things like that. I didn't know there was anyone among us that still did that type of thing. We did it on Webster Street years ago in Schenectady. I know you folks have done it years ago, but I don't see a lot of that when I travel now in this more enlightened era. We're more sophisticated. I haven't seen it. I felt so much like Jesus that Sunday morning. I thought I was doing all right. But in view of this, I don't know where I am. I don't think I'm doing it right. I have gravitated to this other level of Pentecostal living, and I have forgotten what it was like to work with these people. And I felt something pulling at me to go back to the streets where the people are who need a ray of light. You may think I'm successful. I'm not sure I am. I'm not sure I am. I'm not sure God thinks I am either. I don't think He does. I've been doing some crying and some praying. I don't know what to think about some of this. And I have come to you with a burden in this camp meeting to try to transmit to you something. People, we have got to turn ourselves around. We have got to get involved. We have got to get out of our little problems. We've got to get out of these little arguments and all these foolishnesses that do not mean anything. In 100 years from now, it's not going to matter anyhow. Why should it matter tonight? Why don't we just lay aside these weights that do so easily beset us? Why don't we shake ourselves loose tonight and just say, Jesus, here I am. I'm going to run in this race. I'm going to pass this baton to everybody that comes into my presence. I'm going to do something for this generation. I'm going to be a real apostolic Pentecostal preacher. Oh. I have cried. I have prayed. I have exhausted myself. And I'm here to tell you, if you can help me to get into this, please, somebody, come to me and lay your hands on me and help me to get there. I cannot live without a burden for the lost and a compassion for these people.
Brother Ferguson told me, he said, Brother Strunke, I was driving down the street one day. I saw a man standing on the sidewalk. A terrible burden came over me for that man. He said, I couldn't turn over to him. The traffic was so bad, it was rush hour. He said, I went on down the street several blocks and found a place where I could make a U-turn. I came back and the man was still standing there. He said, Brother Stalking, I parked the car. I got out and I walked over to the man. And he said, sir, I feel impressed to talk to you. The man said, are you some kind of a reverend? Brother Ferguson said, yes, I am. He said, I want to come to your house. I want to talk to you. The man said, you're standing on my house. He said, I've lived under this bridge here for years. He said, you want to come in where I live? Brother Ferguson said, yes, I want to come in where you live. He walked in under that bridge, just driftwood piled and stood the forgotten people. Our streets are full of the forgotten people. This man had burlap bags stretched around these poles. He lived there for years. Brother Ferguson went in and sat in that hovel in his suit and witnessed to him about baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. The man said, I've not seen my children in 20 years. I've not seen my family in 20 years. After 1 hour of that kind of talking, Brother Ferguson said, will you get in my car? Will you come to my church? The man said, I see my need to be baptized in Jesus' name. He came out of the water speaking with tongues. He became a saint in that church. He worshiped God and lived for God. In 30 days, he died. He was an old man. The elements had taken their toll, the winter sleeping in the cements and the rags. If Brother Ferguson had not been sensitive to the voice of the Master Shepherd, who said, do you see that sheep standing there on the street? He is lost and homeless and abandoned. It would have been easy for Brother Ferguson to have gone on in his air-conditioned car to the Hala restaurant where he normally has lunch and to have eaten the finest of food served in that city and left the man standing on the street corner. But hear me, friend, some of these days, when this thing is all over, that man is going to walk up to Brother Ferguson and say, I want you to come and see my mansion. I have a home now that is better prepared for a guest like you. I don't live under a bridge anymore. I walk on streets of gold. Brother Ferguson told me that in the open shelter they found an ex-UPC preacher who had become backslidden. They found him and dragged him to church. Didn't know who he was. They prayed him through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He told his story. He called his wife and his children in Florida. He is reunited with them. He has prayed through and they're all going to church together because there is somebody searching for the one lost sheep. I don't know where I am in all of this in view of all of what I've seen there. I thought I was successful. I don't think that I am. I do not think that I am. Brother Mangan, I just came from Seattle, Washington. Your sister Gladys, who has hated the Holy Ghost for how many years? 40 years. On a Sunday morning, the power of God fell in the service. I never did preach, but Brother Mangan's sister Gladys was in that service. They told me she would be there. I walked from the front seat where I was because I felt compelled to do it. I walked over to her in between the pews, not caring about the choir or the singing or anything else that was going on. And I said to her, "Goddess, if you'll raise your hands, right here, Jesus will come to you and He will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost." Brother Mangan, I wish you could have seen it. She reminds me so much of you. She's got it inside of her. She's got that Mangan blood somewhere in there. She just convulsed like that. She just convulsed and she began to wave her hands. I knew then she'd get the Holy Ghost. She cried out. She began to cry out. I'll tell you what, we began to travail. The church came running in just a few minutes. She was speaking with tongues as the Spirit of God gave her the utterance. We could have missed that. We could have had a traditional service. But your sister is in the glory way after all of these years. Oh, let's clap again and worship the Lord. I'm coming to some kind of a close here in a few minutes. I challenge you, saint. I challenge you, preacher, to forget your engagements for lunch and the Pizza Huts and the Chinese restaurants on Sunday night. I challenge you to forget it all and to forget your schedule. Doesn't make any difference if you get there 30 minutes late or you never get there. You'd be healthy without all that stuff to go to bed on anyhow. It wouldn't hurt you to walk to the back of a church congregation and to go back there and take a hold of that hand of that visitor or that saint that is struggling and say, "I feel to pray for you. I've got something that will help you and I want to give you something. Will you come to me? And come with me." It wouldn't hurt. You might be amazed, friend, what would happen if you gave yourself over to an individual, personal ministry to others. I watched Brother Ferguson go on Sunday morning to a little old sister, some 80-some years of age, at the back of the congregation. He walked back to her, didn't know what he was doing, didn't know why he was doing it, just felt to do it. He walked back to her, put his arm around her neck, and began to pray with her. He said, "Mother, I just feel like you need to speak with tongues today." And she just stayed right there, and he stayed right there, and they kept praying, and we were doing our thing up front, and finally she burst forth speaking with tongues. But that afternoon about 5 o'clock, she had a massive heart attack driving her car, and God took her out of this world. What if that shepherd had missed to comfort that sheep on a Sunday morning? Where are we in all of this? Where are we in all of this? Where are we in all of this? What is going to be expected of us? This is what I want to unleash in this place tonight for the rest of this week. I want you to do whatever it is you feel to do in the course of these services. If you feel to go to somebody and to lay your hands on them, if you feel to climb out of that balcony, I don't care if you come over the rail and drop down on somebody, if you feel to go to somebody because you feel a burden and a compassion for them, I want you to get out of your seat and to get involved. I want the minister to step off these steps and get down in among these people and lay hands on and transmit. David, you know it's working for you. It's working for you, man, and it'll keep on working for you because there is something inside of us that is like a power. It's like a fire that is shut up in our bones. There is no telling what will happen here in a few minutes, because in a few minutes I'm going to turn you loose in this to do your thing for Jesus. There are people here that could be mightily used by God. There are preachers in this congregation that could be turned around tonight forever, that would never ever again be the same, that could do something that would be astronomical and monumental for the cause of Jesus. You think that's not a frenzied burden? That's a frenzied burden, what you're hearing right there. There's something just trying to churn inside of us. There's something that's just trying to break loose inside of us. My closing statement to you We're going to do it, Jesus. Let's clap again for a moment. I am persuaded. I am fully persuaded that if more of us had the grace to stoop, we could lift a fallen world. We lack it and we have lost it. If we had the grace to stoop, we could lift a fallen world. In Guatemala City, I prayed for people who had open sores on their heads. I was reluctant to place my hands on them. I was reluctant. In this hour, with so many strange things going on, but I said, Jesus, I have abandoned myself to you. I come in the name of Jesus. I am covered with the blood of the Lamb. As those Jews were free from the plagues in Egypt, so we are free from the plagues of this wretched system. And in the name of Jesus, I laid hands on people. People could not speak English. They would take my hand and lay it on their head, to their heart, to their shoulder, or their arm for healing. I cried every step of the way from that terminal to the plane. I never felt so much like Jesus in all of my life. And you'll never feel really like him till you get down where he was and forget your pedestals of recognition and your positions of power and authority and your credentials. When you get down where he was as a minister in the streets and reach out your hands to those who are in need, there is something that comes from him to you, that you become one with him. Some of you here tonight know each other. There are people here with needs. There are people here tonight who could be mightily used by God. The hand of God is on some of you. Some of you are struggling with burdens to do more for him. But you've not given everything. You have kept reservations. Tonight. You are called upon to let go of your reservations and enlist in his special services for the end time. Will you? I'd like you to stand in the presence of the Lord. And from this moment on, during this camp meeting, from night to night, we would become involved with the Spirit. We would let our hands become his, to be led by him. I want you to lift your hands. There's muffled groaning here, muffled weeping. Would you lift your hands? Would you say, Jesus, send me to somebody in this congregation, in this vast crowd, in this balcony, this main floor? You might as well get started somewhere, friend, and there's no place like tonight. You might as well get started somewhere. You might as well begin tonight. You ought to go to somebody and lay your hands upon them and minister to somebody else. That's it. That's it. Go to somebody else in the name of Jesus. Somebody has come to me. Let God take you to somebody. Lay hands on someone near to you where you're standing. Go to someone who has their hands in the air that is reaching. Lay your hands upon them and begin to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to come to this altar of prayer tonight to say, Jesus, I am going to be different than I was ever before. Would you come now? Would you come now in the name of Jesus? Oh, come. Let us become burdened together tonight. Let us become burdened together tonight. In the name of Jesus, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. To minister to others. Brother Hewlett Myers is in need of healing in his body. All of you preachers ought to come here tonight and lay hands on Brother Hewlett Myers. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Stooping, things are happening. Keep on stooping, keep on lifting, things are happening all over this congregation tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Keep on coming to this altar, keep on coming to this altar tonight. And the Rahatale Harabahashataka.